St. Luke to the 11th chapter. I get up here around this water, and I do like a camel, you know. I get tanked up so I can make the crossing of them hot and dry places. I kind of got, was right amusing. One night I had Brother Richard up here, and he'd say a word or two, and he'd reach for the water jug, and he'd say a few more words, and he'd reach for the water jug. And he finally got through between the water and what he said. He finally finished. All right. Chapter 11, Luke. I want to read in the, I think I'll start with the 14th verse if you got your Bible. He was casting out a devil and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. The people wondered, but some of them said he casted out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoil. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth its weapon garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. All right. In the 27th verse, Jesus' reply was, but he said, yea, rather are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, you know, there is one thing that is needful in this life, and that is that we not only hear the Word of God, but that we learn to keep the Word of God. Jesus said that if you love me, you will keep the Word of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you don't love me, then you won't keep my commandments. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus told him on one occasion, he said, you cannot hear my sayings and you don't keep my sayings because you are not my sheep. But he said, my sheep know my voice. In other words, they can distinguish my voice from any other voice or any other sound. Though there be many sounds in the world, Paul said, yet the sheep of God can distinguish the voice of God from any other sound in the world. There is something about the sound of the voice of God that thrills the hearts of the children of God, that makes a divine contact with the unless world, and they know that that's God's voice. They have a way of knowing that that's God's voice. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, I said, what do you mean by a stranger? As the prophet said to David when David committed his evil, said a stranger came by David, which was a spirit. A spirit came by and undermined David and talked to David, and David listened to that spirit. See, a stranger they will not follow. Is that right? But in the day that you and I are living in, we don't have to do like David did.
We don't just hear the voice of God out there, but we are born to the Spirit of God. We have a power of resistance that David did not have. David did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do you know that? See, the Holy Ghost was with David, and the Holy Ghost was with the prophets of old. He was back there. He wasn't just born at Pentecost. He's been here all the time. He's eternal. He was back there with them. But today we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. We are born of the Holy Ghost. I really like that. When I think about being born of the Holy Ghost, I'm born of the Spirit of God. I'm born of the Holy Ghost. I don't have to sin. I don't have to go back into the world. When you're born of the Holy Ghost, you cannot sin. There is no such thing as a sinning Christian. You understand what I'm saying? People say, well, I know that you are a Christian, but you just sin a little bit. Christians do not sin. There is no such thing as a sinful Christian. Christians keep the Word of God. They obey the Word of God because it is their life. And they do not sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. There is something that God gives to a Christian that people out in the world who are religious don't possess. We are born of the Spirit of God. We are born of the Spirit of God, and therefore we cannot sin. Because God's Spirit is a part of us, and we are a part of God's Spirit. And there is no sin in God's Spirit. So then we cannot sin because we are born of God. God gives unto us a light that the world cannot get a hold of, a light that the world can't understand. The Bible said this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness understandeth it not. Is that right? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend this light. But God tells us that we can comprehend this light. We can comprehend the heights of this light. We can comprehend the depths of this light. We can comprehend the width of this light, the length of this light. But they that are in the carnal thinking, they that are in the carnal mind, cannot comprehend this light. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not the light. God came forth. The Bible said there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. But the darkness could not comprehend the light. And then God speaks to Paul concerning the people that are walking in darkness. And he said, Paul, turn my people from the mind of Satan, from their carnal reasoning, from darkness, from intellectual reasoning. Turn them to the mind of Christ, which is light. Turn them to the Word of God. God is light. God is the Word. In the beginning was the light. And the Bible said that light shined in darkness. And in that light there is no darkness. And that light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not that light. Hallelujah. We are not children of the darkness, but we are children of the light. We understand the light. And the Bible teaches in the day when New Jerusalem comes down and sits down upon this earth, that there will be no night in that city, because the Lamb, which is the Word, God, who is the spiritual light, shall be the light of that city. There shall be no night there. The gates shall not be closed by night, because there shall be no night. They shall eternally be open. The doors to the great city shall forever be open, and we have the power to go in and out that great city. Hallelujah, because the light shines in the darkness cannot comprehend it. As it was in the days of Gideon, according to the Bible, when God spoke to Gideon, he encircled the camp of the enemy. There, while they were in the valley, they were in the darkness. And when Gideon surrounded the valley and gave every man a clay pitcher, he told them at the right time to break the pitcher. And when they did, the light flooded the valley. And the people began to fight each other because darkness cannot comprehend light. And God showed Gideon that the way to overthrow the enemy is by the power of the light. That's where the church makes a mistake. They don't understand how to fight the devil. But the way you fight the devil is with light. He is a creature of darkness, and when we want to overthrow him, we bring forth the light. Bring forth the great light of God. The Bible said when God returns, he'll come in his brightness. And that with the brightness of his coming, he shall destroy the enemy. Because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Then he said, I will destroy him with the brightness of my coming. Now, what is the brightness of the coming of the Lord? It is the sons and daughters of God that is projecting the mind of Christ in the earth. That is the body of Jesus Christ. And what is the great light? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ that's coming forth from within. The kingdom of God that's within you and I. That light is shining in darkness. The Bible said at the end time, gross darkness would cover the people. And that darkness is their intellectual reasoning. That darkness is over the world. It's an educational thing. But they don't understand spiritual things. Now, you take a carnal-minded person. A lot of times I'll have a carnal-minded person sitting in the congregation. And I always have problem with that person. Why? Because to be carnally-minded is darkness. To be carnally-minded is death. If that person is natural-minded, carnally-minded, given to the lust of the flesh, given to the things of the world, that person is the enemy of the light. For God is light. But if that spirit of darkness is in the midst, when the light comes forth, you'll see them start to shift. You'll see them, things start to happen. The preacher will start preaching, and to begin with, he'll struggle a little bit and be a little bit uncomfortable because he's breaking through the darkness. Now, with the light, as it begins to shine, every now and then he'll feel somebody's carnal darkness come back at him. He'll feel a ray of darkness come back at him. You know, that's a light too. But the Bible said, if that light be dark, if that light be darkness, you'll feel that darkness come back at him. And he'll wade right on through it. And after a while, he'll light up, light up, light up. And after a while, he gets so bright until all of the spirits of evil just fade away into nothing. With the brightness of the coming of Christ, as he lights up the mind of intelligence from God, the darkness flees away into nothing. Once in a while, you'll have an old stubborn devil. That'll be in somebody you know, and they'll say, I'm not going to give away. But God just calls for them to resist. He keeps preparing their heart. He knows what kind of person they are. So he just keeps preparing their heart to be religious and to put up a resistance because he wants to do them like he did Pharaoh. He wants to destroy them, but he wants to magnify them to where everybody will see the resistance, that when God crushes them, everybody will know that the hand of God has been in it. We've already had that to happen at Little Bethlehem already. And God's doing some more that way. He's pressing them, bringing them in, hardening their heart to magnify them, to lift them up. And though they're undercover, they think nobody knows it, yet God is pressing them, magnifying them, so that all of them will soon learn who they are, and then God will smite them right in the midst of them. That way the fear of God goes over the audience. But they that are the children of light, they may go out into the shadows, and they may have a little problem. They may get into the shadows, and they may feel a little bit of the shadows upon them. But when they get in the light, they begin to brighten up. Brighten up. And after a while, the darkness is expelled and it's gone away. So then we are children of light. We are not children of darkness, but we are children of light. We are children of the understanding of God. We know that the day is nigh upon us. We know that the end of the world is close by. And we know that God is demanding that we do something for the kingdom of God. Know that the Spirit of God's moving. And we know that we are children of the light. We are not children of the darkness. We're not children of education. We're not children of reasoning. We're not children of lust and worldly desire. But we are children of the light. So then, being a creature of light tonight, I can see the brightness of his appearing. I can see the brightness of His coming. As this great revelating light begins to shine, I see the trees transformate. I see the birds transformate. I see the figments and the shadows just expel. I see everything changing from a temporal thing into an eternal thing. I see everything fading away as the great light comes forth until I can see a new world that's breaking through. But you are children of darkness. You don't see that. But being children of light, we see it. Hallelujah. You're religious like Cain was. Like I said this morning, some of you are very religious. Some of you have fasted. Just like Cain, you know, you're very religious like the Jews. You went on a little fast. You prayed a little bit. You've done something. You're very religious. But you're children of darkness. You are not children of light. I notice when I'm preaching up here, you don't light up. You don't reflect the light. You don't pick it up. Nothing happens to you. But I see the children of light. As the light begins to shine, they begin to take on the light. And I begin to see them as they begin to brighten up. I can see their countenance. They might be sitting in the shadows. Like the Bible said, great light is sprang up unto them that sat in the shadows of the regions of the damned or of the dead. They that sat in the shadows, there was a great light that sprang up. And I know that in this world a great light is springing up. I know that some of you are sitting in the shadow of that old carnal reasoning of yours. But nevertheless, the light is breaking through. The great light of heaven is penetrating the darkness. And that light is coming through. Hallelujah. Such a wonderful experience. As this great light expels the darkness. As this great light comes through, something happens to the children of God. Something happens to the sons of God. They take on a strength. They take on a power. They take on something that the world doesn't possess. You know, I was expounding the truth today, the Word of God, to somebody. And I was trying to explain to them how that God is not everywhere. A lot of people say God is everywhere. They say this great light. They say that God is everywhere. They say that God's in the Presbyterian church, God's in the Baptist church, God's in the Church of God, God's in the UPC. They say that God's over there with the Woodsmans of the world, God's over there with the Masons, and God's in Germany, and God's in Georgia, and God's in Japan. But I want you to know it doesn't work like that at all. They say God is just as much as the Baptist church as anywhere else. That's not true. God is not everywhere in the world, my brothers and sisters. The Bible teaches that Satan is the prince of this world. He is the ruler of this world, and this entire world is in darkness. Everything in this world is in darkness, and God can't find a place in this world anywhere except in the hearts of the children of God. Everywhere there is a child of God, everywhere that somebody has surrendered their heart to God, God has found a place in their heart. And wherever that person is, that is a light. That is the only light in the earth. The world is in darkness. God has no place in this world. Satan has put the whole world in darkness. Man is walking in darkness. Gross darkness is covering the people. And that light doesn't have any place except in the heart of a son of God. But when that heart is open to God, when that man is born again, then comes the Spirit of God into that heart. Then comes the Spirit of light into that heart. That light begins to radiate, and that heart begins to radiate, and the power of God begins to show. Then God has a little place in the world. God would love to get into some of the Baptist churches. If they'd let him in there for just a few minutes, he'd bust the thing wide open. He'd love to get into some of these Pentecostal churches. He'd bust them wide open if they could get in there. Hallelujah. So then you've got to create an atmosphere for God. You've got to create a place of light for God. You've got to create the right atmosphere so that God can come down. That's what we're trying to do at Little Bethlehem. We're trying to live holy, walk holy, be holy, so that God can come down, so the presence of God can be here. Like the Jews, that's what the Jews did. They fasted and they prayed, and they separated themselves from other people, so they could create an atmosphere of holiness, so that God would come down in their midst. They lived an overcoming life. They lived a sacrificial life, so that God could be in their midst. God couldn't be in the midst of the Philistines. Look at them when they took the ark over there. They thought God's in the midst of the Jews. We'll take the Ark of the Covenant. God will be in our midst. But it didn't work that way, did it? God couldn't dwell in their midst. God can't come down in darkness. Like Joseph. Look at the story of Joseph. It shows that Joseph had to interpret the dream. Isn't that right? Jesus is the one that come down. Being relative to the human body. God couldn't come down here. But Jesus come down here in the darkness. Was made like unto sin. Made relative to sin. The sense he was made sin. Coming as Joseph to interpret the dreams of this dark evil night to God. God sent him down here. Like he said in the days of Abraham. Instead of come down here to look at Sodom and Gomorrah. And find out if this thing's altogether such as I heard that it is. Isn't that right? If God was already down here, then why did he come down here? He said, Abraham, I've come down here to take a look. How did he get to come down? Through Abraham. How did he get down to Sodom and Gomorrah? Through Lot. They created an atmosphere for God. You understand what I'm saying? God let Joseph interpret the dreams. God sent Jesus down on this world. We're in darkness. This is a dream. It's a dreadful dream. It's a nightmare. We're in the hours of darkness. The whole world is in darkness. Everybody is asleep. The Bible said they were asleep at the midnight hour. Everybody's asleep. And Joseph has come down to this dark world because God is the light. God cannot fellowship darkness. How can God fellowship darkness? If God comes down to interpret the dream himself, there would be no darkness. Because there's no fellowship with darkness and light. And God is the light. And when God comes, there is no darkness. God would never understand the deep darkness. God could never understand the cruelness of the nightmare of our lives. God could never understand the sufferings, the conflicts, because he's light. And if he even come nearest, the darkness would fade away. So then he made himself a body, made something relative to darkness, that he could understand the world of darkness, understand the cruelty, understand the punishments, understand all of the bereavements of mankind, that he might be a great and a mighty high priest that could be touched with the feelings of the infirmities of those that are weak. He could not understand it. God could not come and find out. So God took a Joseph and sent him down. That Jesus, in touch with heaven, told him what was going on. That Jesus interpreted the dream of this dreadful night. He told God what it was, and God understands through Jesus the sufferings of mankind, the tortures and torments of mankind, and he's able to secure us. Instead of coming in his brilliance and his brightness and his power, looking upon us as a bunch of wretched people and just destroying us with the brightness of his coming. Instead of doing that, God in his mercy, in his wonderful mercy, made a human body to understand us and then stood way up in the distance to keep from destroying us, put a mediator between us, that he might have mercy, that he might understand us, as it was in the days of Moses, when the people sinned, the great cloud of God that stood over the tabernacle, the Bible said it moved way off in the distance, because darkness and light hath no fellowship. God had to get away from them. You say, why did he do that? He said, Moses, get out of the way. I'll destroy every one of them. Moses said in so many words, I'm the prophet like unto Jesus. Don't destroy the people. I stand in their behalf and I plead their cause. Blot my name out of the book of life. Oh, that got God. That got God. God prepared a man's heart to stand in his presence and to protest the thing he was about to do. That was God's joy. That was God's light. That was God's desire. God knew that as a great, powerful, mighty light, he had to do away with darkness. He could not stand by and see the sufferings of mankind and the sufferings of little children, the sufferings of mothers. He couldn't do it. He'd destroy everything in existence before he could do it. But to have compassion so that he wouldn't have to destroy us, so he could bear with us, so he could hold on till he could get the most of them, get the best of them. He put a mediator between him and he said, Moses, stand there like a man. Protest what God's doing and plead the cause of the people. And he said to the minister, said, lay in the altars all night, intercede for the people. Cry out, spare thy people, O God. Hallelujah. Moses said, be it far from thee, O God. Don't do that, just destroy me. Said the people will say, you brought all of the people out of the land of Egypt to bring them out here and destroy them. What kind of concept would they have of God? Old brother Abraham said, nay, God, be it far from thee. You can't destroy the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Thou art the judge of all the earth. Don't do it, God. You understand what I'm saying? And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's why people are religious. That's why they are religious, and yet they still do the evil things that they do. They still continue in their sins. They still continue to do the evil things that they want to do. Though they're religious like Cain, but they still go the ways of Balaam. Why? Because they don't keep the word of God. But the Bible said, blessed is he that heareth the word of God and keepeth it. Why? Because in the beginning was God, the Word, the Spirit, the great light. And we are the children of that great light. Those people, they can't keep the Word of God. How can they keep the Word of God? They're not born of the Word of God. They're not born of the Spirit of God. I'm going to get on the street you live on now. Preacher always winds up doing that. You got time to listen at it? Hallelujah. Have you understood what I'm saying? We are the children of light. Now listen. A person would say, but Brother Pike, how do I know that I've got the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, I've spoken tongues. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. I've been through this before and want to go through it again. Somebody said, I speak in tongues. That doesn't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but I can work miracles. That doesn't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. Come on, folks. Prophets of old worked miracles. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Hallelujah. Say, but I prophesied. So did Saul, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? How can I know the Holy Ghost? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will testify of me. When a person's always testifying of themselves, telling you who they are and what they are and what they're going to do and what great things they're going to accomplish, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's not God. The Holy Ghost doesn't spend his time testifying of Brother Pike. The Holy Ghost doesn't spend his time testifying of Brother Gill. The Holy Ghost spends his time testifying of Jesus. The Bible said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will testify of the Word. Why? Because he is the Word. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of truth, the words of truth, the Spirit of truth. When the Holy Ghost comes in you, he testifies of the Word. Not only in an oral expression of the lips, but he testifies to the Word in his daily deeds. The child is known by his doings. He testifies of the Word in a daily walk of holiness. How can I know that I've got the Holy Ghost? I know that I got the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost talks about Jesus. The Holy Ghost talks about winning souls. The Holy Ghost talks about glorifying the Son of God. The Holy Ghost talks about conforming to the words of truth. The Holy Ghost talks about going on to perfection. The Holy Ghost talks about helping the sick, helping the widow, helping the needy, helping the lost. When the Holy Ghost prophesies, You lay your hands on somebody, they say, "Thus saith the Lord." That "thus saith the Lord" won't be with flattery. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Holy Ghost will speak and tell you to clean up your rotten, crooked life. That Holy Ghost will tell you that they'll use you if you walk right, if you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, that great light from heaven. You say, "But I fasted." That don't mean a thing. You say, "But I prayed." But that don't mean a thing. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Spirit of the living God. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Just because you speak in tongues, you haven't got the Holy Ghost. Just because you come to little Bethlehem, that don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. You follow me? Hallelujah. Just because you belong to the church of God and you belong to it for 15 years, that don't spell nothing. Just because your daddy was a holiness preacher, that don't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Just because mama shouted her shoe heels off and all the bobby pins came out of her hair and her hair fell down to her waist, that didn't mean she had the Holy Ghost. That didn't mean she went to heaven. She may be in hell today. Hallelujah. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? What is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the nature of the living God. It's the Spirit of the Word. Who is the Word? The Word is God. What happened to the Word? The Word was made flesh. What is the Holy Ghost? He is the Spirit and nature of the Word. Hallelujah. The Spirit and the nature of the Word. That's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Have you followed me? Praise God. I hope our traveling congregation will settle down a little while. I see the same ones keep getting up and going, keeping up and going. I hope they settle down. I know sometimes you have to go and maybe have to make a double trip. But I hope you settle down a little while. All right, now both of us can't travel at the same time, and I'm a traveling evangelist, so you're going to have to sit still. All right, now, you say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I'm talking about God's Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah, I stepped on somebody's toes and the shoes is getting tight. I thought you can pull them off. God said, "Pull them off, you stand on holy ground." Little Bethlehem's holy ground. All right, hallelujah. Glory to God. So then I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Just because you shout, just because you sing, because you speak in tongues, because you prophesy, that don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. Brother, the only proof that you got the Holy Ghost is Jesus said, "When He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, has come, that He will testify of me." Somebody said, "But you just don't know how much I fasted." I don't care how much you fasted. I ain't got no business knowing anyway. If you were trying to fast for God, you wouldn't want nobody to know. Hallelujah! I'm talking about God's Spirit. The real, genuine Holy Ghost. Brother, when you got the Holy Ghost, He'll talk about Jesus. He'll sing about Jesus. He'll pray about Jesus. He'll fast about Jesus. He'll love Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel Him, don't you? I feel that Holy Ghost I'm talking about. Glory to God. I'm talking about having a church full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said old brother Stevens was full of the Holy Ghost. We got to be full of the Holy Ghost. God wants a church full of the Holy Ghost. Full of that light. How can the church overcome the demon powers out there? By being full of the Holy Ghost. Brother, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll radiate like a light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like a great man not too long ago, I was filled with the Spirit of God. They said he went into a factory, walked into this factory, him full of the Holy Ghost. He started talking about Jesus and he shut the whole plant down. Started having revival in that place. What is it? Those boys of old just walked out on a street corner and started talking about God, and the Holy Ghost began to move until they have a revival in the middle of the street. Brother, when you get the Holy Ghost, you can have revival on the city square. I'm talking about God. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to have a tent. You don't have to have somebody supporting your ministry. All you got to have is God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Now, how can I know that I got the Holy Ghost? Who's going to tell me that I got the Holy Ghost? Somebody lay hands on it and say, there you are. You got the Holy Ghost. Oh, that don't mean nothing. You understand what I'm saying? But brother, let me tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, He don't chew the fat. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I've just been chewing the rag. You old goat. Amen. The Holy Ghost don't chew the rag. Sheep don't chew rags. Is that right? So then, when you get the Holy Ghost, what will He do? He don't gossip. He don't backbite. He don't deal. He don't chew. He don't puff. Come on, folks. Somebody asked a great man of God one time, said, do you think? Said, I don't think it's wrong to chew tobacco. Said, do you think it's wrong? Said, do you feel like a fella can go to heaven chewing tobacco? He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. Said, there ain't going to be no place for you to spit up there. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. You might as well get rid of it down here. There ain't no spit tombs in heaven. There ain't no ashtrays up there either. You might walk out of the little Bethlehem church to get you a puff, but you won't walk out of the palace of God to get you a puff. Somebody say hallelujah. Does that answer whether or not it's wrong? It must not be right if it don't fit the situation. Hallelujah. They ain't going to sell no camels up there. One thing about it, if you still got the habit, you're going to go liking for a long time because there ain't going to be no place to purchase them. I feel that what the church needs is a good infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said they prayed till the Holy Ghost came. And it filled the church. It filled the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And all of them begin to speak in tongues and begin to prophesy and begin to move by the Holy Ghost. They fasted and prayed until God filled their hearts and filled their souls. Then they were stirred, hallelujah, to do something for God. Somebody said, well, I just don't have no get up and go. Dan said, build a fire under the turtle and he'll get some get up and go. That's what old brother Dan used to say. Said, if you ain't got no get up and go, said, build a fire under the turtle and he'll get up and go. Amen. When God baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, you'll get some get up and go. Hallelujah. You'll be acting like Frank Taylor does. Hallelujah. So then, I'm talking about real church members now. God is not everywhere, folks. He's not everywhere. God isn't in the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterian. God isn't the Pentecostal and UPC. God is in the hearts of the believer. Wherever there is a believer at, that's where God is. If that believer is a black man out in the cotton patch, that's where God is. Somebody said, you done hit my soft spot. My grandpa was church of whatever you call it. That's a sore spot with me. Well, I'll tell you what, God's got something to heal up your sore spot. You say, what is it? A little fire from the lake. A little fire from the lake. It'll heal that sore spot and you won't never know nothing about it no more. I'm talking about God. Bunch of hypocrites running from coast to coast talking about my grandma was a Baptist, my grandpa was a Pentecostal, and don't you say nothing about the Baptist, don't you say nothing about the Pentecostal, don't you say nothing about the Catholic, don't you say nothing about the Presbyterian. In other words, just shut your mouth and quit preaching. You come to the wrong place when you come to little Bethlehem, I'll tell you that.
That's right. We talk about the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and the Catholics and all the rest of them. All of them together is going to hell if it don't get right with God, including the Pope leading the way. Brother, let me tell you something. God's got no respect to the Pope of Rome. God's got no respect for the overseer of the Church of God. God's got no respect for the UPC. God's got respect for the blood of Jesus. If he sees the blood of Jesus in your heart, whether you're a Church of God, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, whatever you are, he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I see the blood, you quit worrying about grandma and grandpa and granddaddy and all them, and you get your heart right with God. Somebody said, well, I know my granddaddy went to heaven. Well, I'm glad. I hope my granddaddy went too. But your granddaddy and my granddaddy both may be in hell for all I know. I'll find out when we get there. I hope they make it. I hope I make it, and I hope you make it too. I'll tell you one thing, if we don't make it, it'll be our fault. God made a way where we can make it. All he said was repent of your sins and get filled with the Holy Ghost and God will take you in. Somebody said, I'd just love to come to Bethlehem if he just wouldn't preach the gospel. That's all that bothers me, you devil. I said, you devil! The gospel don't bother the sons of God. It bothers devils. We don't have no fellowship with devils anyway. So if you get pouty and puffy and you blow off into the dry places, that's all right. You love the Lord? I'm talking about the light. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm talking about this light with the brightness of His coming. It affects the Baptists. The brightness of His coming, it affects the Pentecostals. The brightness of His coming, it affects the Pope of Rome. Hallelujah. This great light of God that's shining from heaven. And to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, there sprang up a light. Ooh. There sprang up a light. What kind of light was it? It was a light that shines in the darkness. It was a light that the darkness couldn't comprehend. That educated philosopher, that professor with all the PhDs and the DDs and the double Ds, he said, what's that Frank Taylor talking about? Don't make sense to me. I never read that. Who quoted that anyway? I never read that. Mr. Taylor, where did you get that? Hallelujah. The song said, let me introduce my friend to you. Somebody said, who is that fella? Them doctors of divinity. They said, wow, listen to that. That kid's just 12 years old. And never a man spake like that man. What kind of talk is this? Where did he get that? I don't remember him ever teaching that in school. Hallelujah. What is it? It's words of life, eternal life. It's words of light that expels the darkness. It's God's word. It's God's light. I feel something moving. I feel the power of the deep. I feel God catching Leviathan by the tail and making the deep churn like a pot. Glory to God. When God gets ready, He does whatever He wants to. Hallelujah. Like the song we wrote, the Ancient of Days, He just picks up a thunderbolt, gives it a sail through the heavens whenever He gets ready. If He wants to take a ride, He just spins the wheels of the old windy chariot and steps on board of a cloud, and here He goes. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus. That Holy Ghost that I'm speaking of talks about Jesus. He testifies of Jesus. How can I know that I got the Holy Ghost? Because you got the Word. Do you love the Word? Are you anchored in the Word? Is your faith in the Word? If you got your faith in the Word, you got the Holy Ghost.
If you're anchored in the Word, you got the Holy Ghost. If your daily conversation about Jesus, you got the Holy Ghost. If every thought, every intent of the heart is about Jesus, you got the Holy Ghost. But if you can sit in the service and go to sleep, there's something wrong with you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. I said you need the Holy Ghost. Anybody that can sit in the service of God and go to sleep, they need the Holy Ghost. Man or woman, boy or girl. Somebody said, you done hit my sore spot. Well, we'll get around to put some wine in it in a few minutes. Amen. God heals and God binds up. God wounds and God pours in the oil and the wine. Hallelujah. God kills and God makes alive. God creates the good and evil. God has His way in both. Somebody said, well, I think that's mighty indignant of you. I sit in your service and go to sleep and you say something about it. Well, what you expect me to do? To slip you a pillar? You're in church. This is God's house. You're supposed to listen to God's Word. You may go to sleep in here and you might open your eyes in the chambers of hell. I had a fellow one time, he kept going to sleep in my service. In a few days he was dead. You don't go to sleep on God. How do you know that? If you're too sleepy to stay awake in God's house, God will give you a pillar and put you to sleep from now on. Let you get a long rest. You love the Lord? Somebody said, you're mocking me. I'm just telling it like it is. That's all. That's the way it is. All right. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. But I want you to listen just for a minute or two more and we're going to let you go. Now look, folks. I read to you. It said when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. You understand? When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it wandereth through dry places. Is that right? It wandereth through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Is that right? All right. Now, when that spirit is gone out of a man, it wandereth through dry places. How can that spirit leave a man? It's when a man will sit and listen at the truth. But the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. Brother, when you preach the word of God, the devil's going to leave or the person's going to leave. Devils can't sit under the word. If the preachers would preach the word, the devils would leave. So then, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it wandereth through dry places and it seeks rest. And it can't find any rest. And then it says, I think I'll go back to where I come from. But the Bible said when it goes back, the house is all swept with clean and garnished. And it can't get in. You see, the man has done got some strength. He's stronger than he was before. And the devil don't have any power over him. So the devil, he goes and he gets another devil. And he goes and he gets another devil. Like when Daniel fasted and prayed. The answer started back from heaven, and the devil run and got a bunch of demon spirits, which was fallen angels. And they got in there and they fought against that messenger of God, angel against angel, light against darkness. And they wrestled and they fought for 21 days. God said, Daniel, from the very first day you prayed, I heard you. But said the prince of the powers of evil, come out there against us. And from 21 days they fought. And after a while, the power of light overcome. Glory to God, and old Michael broke through. He kept driving, and he wouldn't get up. Old Daniel fasted one day, and he fasted 2 days, and he fasted 3 days, and he fasted 4 days, and he fasted 5 days. And they kept fighting, and that messenger said, get out of the way, devil! I've got to get to that Son of God. He's crying. He's calling. Get out of my way. And the devils multiplied and old Michael kept breaking through and the angel of God kept driving through. And after a while they plowed through the defense line. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you could hear the cry from heaven, Daniel, I'm coming. We sang the song, hold the fort for I am coming. Hallelujah. Jesus signal still. Wave the answer back to glory. By God's faith I will. Hallelujah. Hold on, Daniel. I'm coming. After a while, there he stood. Oh, my. when the angel of God stood there, old Daniel Week crumbled over on his face. The angel of God stood there and said, "Thou beloved man of God." Hallelujah, what a man. Give me your hand, Daniel. Glory to God, you're not a quitter. Because you held on, I broke through that evil line. Just because you stayed there, Daniel, you're not a quitter. Hallelujah. Thou great and mighty man of God. Beloved man of God. Stand up on your feet, Daniel. I've come to give you skill. I've come to tell you some things from God. Folks, if we wasn't quitters, if we didn't have sore spots, if we quit worrying about grandma and grandpa and get in here and love Jesus and be like Abraham, if it's our son, if it's our daughter, if it's our mother, if it's our daddy, if it's our neighbor, whoever it is, lay them on the altars for God and say it's Jesus or nothing. God will look down and say, "Mother, because you chose me instead of that wretched son of yours, I love you. And I'll bust his hide good until I get him straightened out. And I'll bring him and make him kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you." And he'll come back and he'll say, "Mom, I've been a wretch, but I'm glad that you're a saint. I'm glad that you prayed for me, Mom." Hallelujah. I know they'll do it. I've done seen them do it. Keep on a praying. Keep on a praying. Keep on a ringing the prayer bells of glory. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel like ringing the prayer bells of glory, don't you? Just keep on a praying. Keep on a fasting. Keep on a calling on Jesus. Hallelujah. After a while, here they'll come. That's right. A whole host of them. I'll say, "Boys, let's get down here into Bethlehem as fast as we can. Glory to God, they're having a revival down there, and let's go down there and get in it." The Bible said the angels of heaven rejoiced over one soul coming to repentance. Isn't that right? They said, "Look at them people being saved down there. Let's get down there and get in that revival." Oh, somebody said, "Now, Brother Pike, you're beside myself." Oh, you say, "Yeah, I guess I really am." But the Bible said that God gives the angels charge concerning thee, the encamp round about thee. If we're in heaven, then they're here. And if the angels of God is here, then I believe we can have fellowship with them, don't you? Abraham did. Isaac did. Jacob did. All of them boys had fellowship with them. John the Revelator did. Paul the Apostle did. Paul said, "This night after 14 days of fasting, said this very night the God whom I am and whom I serve, he sent his angel and he stood before me. And he said, Paul, the cry of distress is heard. Don't worry, everything's going to be all right." Oh, you say, "What does that mean, Brother Pine?" Look at the little face of Joseph. Look at the little face of Danny. Look at the little face of Gracie. Look at the little face of your Danny, Joe, or Gracie. Look at the face of your sweet, loving mother. Look at the face of your daddy, your sons, your daughters, your wife, your husband, as they lay there and groan, dying with cancer, dying with some dreadful disease. And they're pleading and trying to hold on to life. Then you'll understand what it means to be able to get in touch with God. Some of you right now are not far from the cemetery. I had a feeling today that's been with me all day. Some of you are not far from the cemetery. Oh, you say, "But it couldn't be me." But you never know. You never know. Amen. You never know. The thing is to walk circumspectly before God. It might be your day. It might be your time. It might be the time of one of your loved ones. I remember when I was down in South Georgia having a revival. Had Brother Edgar Castlebear there with me. Way out of town, had a great big old-fashioned school building. And God was filling the place up. The people was coming out to revival. The police had come out to the revival to listen. I mean, they're coming to hear the gospel. God was moving. Old Brother Edgar said, "God is talking to me." He said, "Something ain't right, Brother Pike." I said, "Edgar, you can't leave me in this revival." I said, "We're having a revival. God's moving." He said, "But Brother Pike," said, "something ain't right." He said, "God's telling me something wrong on the home front." He said, "I got to get back there." He went on back. Wasn't long. Big truck, great big old 14-wheeler, whatever it is. Brother Edgar's little grandbaby coming from school, walking along, this big truck came by, whipped up on the side, and then big tires hit that little fellow and crushed him and killed him. Something was wrong. But I'll speak to you. How do you know that? How do you understand what I'm saying? God will speak to you. He'll speak to me. We can have fellowship with angels. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Angels come and visit us. They come in fellowship with us. They come and tell us when something's wrong. See, it might be you. It might talk to you tonight like it did Edgar. I had that feeling today. It might be you. God might be talking to some of you. Who knows what's about to happen? See, it could be you. Are you in touch with the angels? Are you in touch with God? Are you willing to take a little time to be holy? The Bible said take time to be holy. Are you willing? Do you want that Holy Ghost I'm talking about? Do you? I'm talking about the real genuine. Hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you something tonight. Today, I've seen three different individuals leave this church. Three of them during the two-day service. It was evident that every one of them needs an experience with God. One of them is confident that he has a tremendous experience with God, but I tell you, he needs an experience with God. The other two, as the old saying goes, is standing on a banana peeling. And it won't be long before you're going to hear some deaths. Now watch and see. This morning I had the feeling God was talking to somebody for the last time. And they spun the call of God, and they wouldn't have the call of God, but you're going to get a report from it. You mark the words that Brother Pike is speaking. I tried my best to come straight down, as Brother Branham said, the old Kentucky gun barrel. I tried to tell you the truth, but you let your sore spots, because it's mom and daddy or Baptist or Methodist or brother and sister or something that you got in your mind that you don't like that I said, you let that little sore spot send your soul into a burning lake of fire instead of being a man or a woman and stand up and say, God, I'm not going to be some fool. Rebel against the word of the living God when the Bible said it's not Brother Pike speaking, but it's God speaking from heaven. I'm not going to be a fool and spurn the voice of my Creator and jump headlong into a burning lake of fire. Now, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I don't believe that's God talking. Well, then you're a bigger fool than the man that acted the fool, because if you wasn't a fool, you'd have never come here to start with, or you'd have got up and left the first time you heard me. If you think this is a man up here doing all this talking, then you're a fool for sitting and listening. You're worse a fool than a man that got up and left. At least he did have enough sense to get up and leave. It's God speaking, folks. And if it's God, then you better take notice. You better heed it. You better listen. Well, I know some of you ain't. I know you ain't. You don't have to tell me. Your spirit tells me. I know you ain't. That's because you feel like you are you, you know. And not you. No, not anybody else, but not me, somebody said. Some of you that's been rebelling, I've already felt some things close at hand. God's giving you a little warning here and there. So, after a while, God will deal with you. But in the midst of all of your perverted, evil ways of doing, I've got some children of light here. I've got some people that believe what I say, and they believe this is God, and they're doing their very best to straighten up their crooked lives. So I'm not going to worry about the sons of darkness. When the sons of God come to present themselves, the sons of darkness come also. When the daughters of light come, the daughters of darkness come also. You love the Lord? All right, I want you to stand with me. I love you tonight, and I'm trying to help you. But it is a fact that we're going to have the real, genuine Holy Ghost. We can't just up and leave just because we perceive that a man is fixing to get on the street we live on. I've got some of them that come to Little Bethlehem. I'm talking about preachers. And they perceive that I'm fixing to get on the street they live on, and up they go just like that. As hurriedly as they can, they get out of here so that they won't hear it. You call that God? That's not God. You watch what I'm telling you. That's not God. Somebody said, oh, I believe. I don't care what you believe. You remember what I'm telling you. The Word of God can't be broken. It's coming to pass. That's not God. And God's going to show it up. He'll bear long and He'll suffer long, but He's going to show it up. And when He does show it up, you're going to see that I'm telling you the truth. And you're going to say, God, Brother Pike never lied to us. That was the truth. And we wouldn't believe it. It's going to come to pass. You want to say something, brother? Yeah, Brother Leon wants to say something.
Kind of nervous tonight. Y'all pray for us. Man, I'm so nervous. I can't. It's hard to stand here. I get nervous when I get up for some people. But when I come here before, I guess, well, it's been 4 or 5 months, I guess. I don't know. I don't hardly keep up with time, and I'm kind of really nervous tonight. But in the last few days, I've been really nervous, and the devil's really been trying to cause me to leave from here. And the Lord really, I've been trying to really find out if this really was the move of God or not. I've been really wanting to know. And yesterday, the devil really disturbed my mind and tried to get me to leave, Brother George. But as honest as I know how tonight, I wouldn't tell you, but I've been made to know by God. And I'm not just talking. I'm saying that when I come here before and I kind of left and went out and tried to preach and trying to preach and do something for the Lord, Jesus Christ, and I don't want to take much of your time tonight, but I left and tried to go and do something for God, and the Lord was really anointing me in a way that God had never anointed me, Brother George. And I said, well, I ain't going to lift up no man. I'm going to just lift Jesus up. But when I did, it seemed like God began to get in trouble. And the devil said, I know that God led me here. And I know that I love every one of you. And some of your spirits I don't agree with. Probably some of you don't agree with mine. But I'm going to try to work with you. And I pray. And what I'm saying is this, that God, the Lord made me know. I mean, God, in the last few weeks, God has dealt with me. And I would never really come to the place that, all before I kind of got up here and said that I believe Brother George was a messenger, that he was man, that he was God's man of the hour. And Brother Stone, yesterday I kind of got a little upset. And I'm sorry if I kind of, some of you brothers yesterday kind of rubbed you wrong. But I think what we ought to do is we ought to get in the spirit that we confess our sins one to another, confess our wrongs one to another, and I believe become holy children of God. And I believe then God will do the work and bring forth the revival that we want God to bring forth in this day. And I believe with all my heart, if I've ever took a stand for God, and I believe that this is the move of God, and I believe that Brother George Pike, praise God, is the messenger in the earth today, praise God. I believe Almighty God made me recognize and realize that He is the man that God has put in the earth with the revelation of Jesus Christ, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God dealt with me today, and I was praying that Brother George would ask me to minister tonight, but the Lord began to deal with me all day to get up here and testify and confess, praise God, and I've made up my mind, praise God, to stand with Brother George Pike and put my money, what little I've got, in the work of God at Little Bethlehem, praise God. Because I know it's the only move of God in the land today. And I didn't get up here to take over like this. But Brother George, God began to deal with me all day today. And I even kind of rubbed Brother George wrong yesterday. The other night I thought he was talking to me. And he wasn't even talking to me. And I had my old feelings on my shoulder. But I'm sorry tonight. But I'll tell you, it's time. Praise God, there ain't another man coming. The next move's coming. It's going to be the manifested sons of God. And I believe Brother George Pike will make the way, praise God, for the sons of God to come forth in this hour that we're living in. I believe it with all my heart tonight, praise God. God dealt with me in the last few weeks in a way He never dealt with me before. Brother, I tell you, if I went back now and didn't stand behind it, God would probably take my life, praise God. But there's some of you, praise God, preachers, just like I am, and I love you. You better get out of yourself. And we better line up with God. We had better line up with God. And I didn't come here to try to preach behind Brother George Pike. But I'll tell you tonight, we ever won better line up with the truth and with the Word of God. We better begin to make our crooked path straight. We better line up with God and realize that God ain't got but one body. That God ain't got but one move in the land today. And praise God, I believe that with all my heart, that God put Brother George Pike as the head in the land today. Hallelujah, I believe that tonight with all of my heart tonight. Hallelujah. And I went down at Brother Red's and I said, I ain't going to lift up no man. I'm going to lift Jesus up. But I'll tell you, I got to going, and I'll tell you what, it seemed like something began to happen to me. But I'll tell you tonight, what, Brother Mike, some of y'all, I'll tell you, if I rubbed you wrong, forgive me, Brother Paul, any of the rest of you. But I believe that I'm a part of you, and ain't nothing I can do about it, and ain't nothing you can do about it, because this is God's work, and we've got to accept what God is doing tonight, and let God be God, and let God have His way, and bring forth that last day revival, Brother Zale, hallelujah, and come together as a body of born-again believers, and we'll see that work, Brother George, that we've been believing God for. Ain't another man coming. There's a bunch of men coming. That's the manifested sons of God. Hallelujah. And I believe Brother George is heading up that army. Brother, I'm going to stand and I'm going to work and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It ain't no one man's show. It's God's show. And I didn't try to take over. And I love you, Brother George. And I'm sorry if I... But listen, I ain't got the spirit to try to hurt nobody. My spirit ain't like that. And I tell you tonight, we ought to quit rubbing each other wrong. I probably rubbed some of you, but we are the body of Christ. We are the God's move in the land today. This is the move of God. I don't believe there's another one. Praise God. I don't believe there's another move of God besides this move. If it was, praise God, we wouldn't be here tonight. Praise God. We are the move of God. Hallelujah. Praise God tonight. Praise God, Brother George. I'm not just saying this, praise God, but God made me confess, and I tried to leave yesterday. It hadn't have been for my wife, I'd have took off yesterday and went somewhere and tried to begin to preach. But God has got an end time move that ain't been like no other move. It's a move that ain't never been in the land before. And God's bringing it forth, praise God. And I'll tell you, we're going to see something begin to happen that we ain't never seen before. And I believe, Brother George, it's going to begin to happen. We're right on the breaking point. Praise God, I love every one of you tonight. And I want to work with you, praise God, and do all I can for God and for you, because I know, praise God, that we ain't got long to labor, praise God. And I don't do this unless God just definitely leads me to do it. I'll tell you what, I made some mistakes, but you're looking at one. Brother Jimmy Kurt told me that today, I believe it was, that Brother George preached this morning on growing up. I've told Brother Grady Pike yesterday, I said, Brother Grady, I'm tired of being a fool. I'm going to grow up and be a man, praise God. That's what we ought to do, is grow up and be a man and come into the fullness of God. You're looking at what's going to quit being rebellious. I ain't going to quit being rebellious. I've been a disobedient and a rebellious child. But I'm sick and tired of it, praise God. It ain't no peace and love and joy in it, praise God. Hallelujah. And if I ever heard God speak, I heard Him speak tonight. I ain't just saying this, but I studied Brother George Pike. And I don't say this boastful, I ain't never been one to fast much. But in the last 4 or 6 months, I fasted more than I ever have since I've been serving God. And God made me to know something tonight. I know some of you probably don't believe what I'm saying. But I'll tell you what, some of you don't even know the voice of God, don't we? But I'll tell you, it's time for us to come together. This ain't even me speaking tonight. Just like Brother George said, it wasn't him speaking. But it's the Spirit of the living God speaking in His temple in this hour. Folks, I want to just come together and be a sweet little child of God and humble my old hearty self down. And I thank God for everyone that hadn't been for Brother Jimmy Kurt. Some of y'all might not care if I'd have left. But I'll tell you, I thank God that some of you cares about people today. And I thank God for Brother Jimmy Kurt that he enthused me and enticed me in a loving way to stay here and realize that this is the move of God. But if there's somebody here today that don't believe this is the move of God, I'll guarantee you from the bottom and the depths of my heart that this is the move of God. And whether they acknowledge it or not, Brother George Pike is the man that's got the message, praise God, and he is heading up the last day move of God in the earth today, Brother Frank. I believe it. I don't only believe it, but God has made me know it tonight, Brother Joy. He made me know it, praise God. And when He makes you know something, you can stand on it, and you can thank God for it, and realize and say, Lord, I'm not worthy, God. Why me, Lord? Could I come into this thing, praise God? But I'll tell you, forgive me. As I live tonight, I'll never be rebellious again if I got anything to do with it. And I didn't try to take over, but God made me get up here tonight and say exactly what I had to say, praise God. Some of you in here tonight, I'll tell you, if you don't believe it's the move of God, it is. I was going down the road yesterday, and I went by a store over here, and a truck passed me, and there was four vaults on it. And just like the Lord spoke to me, or the fear of God began to come over me, there was four vaults on that truck. And it just like the Lord spoke to me, Brother Jordan. I thank God for you. I just want to obey God tonight. Hallelujah.
You love the Lord? I tell you, I'm just a make out, but that fellow's a real preacher. That's right. You know, I found out the other day that for 6 months he's been supplicating before the Lord. Just eating a meal and maybe drinking a little something for 6 whole months. That's really determination, isn't it? Well, the anointing of the Lord is mightily upon Brother Leon. I told you that a long time ago, and it still is. And God's got a work for him to do, and I hope I can be a little part of it. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. I wonder how our sister Betty Jean feels back there tonight. You feel better, Sister Jean? That's wonderful. She come here, she was nervous, fatigued, taking medicine, nerves all broke down. And this morning we preached, she listened to it, she came down to the house today, her and her dad, who is such a precious person, sat there, we talked with them and prayed for them, and the tears streamed down her cheeks. And I felt God's mighty hand of deliverance. And I said, don't you feel free? Don't you feel delivered? She said, yes. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? There's a freedom, Brother Thomas, the powers in the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel, Brother Thomas, I feel the power of God. And he starts doing that to me. I've got such deep respect for that gray hair when I look up there and see 45 years of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understand that this man has preached on the streets of Monroe. Is that right? Did I get that right? Right here on the streets of Monroe. Just think about that. No wonder God's got a little Bethlehem. Amen. I mean it. 45 years ago, he stood and declared the gospel here. God, 45 years later, no doubt because of that, put a little Bethlehem here. I tell you, it's something. They plowed the field and sowed a seed, and today we've entered into other men's labors and reaping their harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I believe like Brother Leon does, I believe that this is a bodily ministry, that God has got many members, and that you are the members of that body. I love you, and I have the greatest kind of respect for you. I really mean that from my heart. I love you enough that I don't want one of you, not one of you, to perish. The Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish. Those that nailed Jesus to the tree, that crucified him, that spit upon him, that plucked his beard, it wasn't God's will, Richard, for them to perish. He didn't want them to perish. The Bible said he loved them unto the end. Right down to the very end, he lifted up his head and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. They wouldn't do that if they understood. Said they don't understand. And he loved to the end. And I believe he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves us. He loves us. Why don't we love one another? Why don't we love one another? Why can't we love one another? No greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. No greater love. If I could lay down my life for Brother Richard Shepard, to pray and to seek God for his deliverance. And then, if he loves me enough to lay down his life in seeking God for my health and happiness, what greater love can you have than that? See, a man loves his fellow man enough that he becomes a servant, that he might reach his fellow man. I love you tonight. Jesus loves you tonight. And we ought to so love one another. Love is of God. He that loveth is of God. For God is love. All right? Let's sing this little chorus together. I believe, Brother James, that we're going to see some wonderful things. I really believe that. The church, Brother Keith, is coming together. They're coming together. That's why those young people are sitting back there tonight. They're sitting back there because they know something's happening. You can't fool young folks. They know when a bunch of people is fussing and arguing and feuding and gossiping and back. But they know God ain't in that. But see, when the light begins to shine, and when people begin to love one another, and the Spirit of God begins to move, you'll see them young people begin to come in. They say, that's God. That's what I heard about. That's what the Bible talks about. You'll see them begin to get into harness. The age and the young walking together. Remember this. The move of God is not the youth walking by themselves, because wisdom is with the ancient. The move of God is not the ancient walking by themselves, because the strength of God is in the young man and the youth. So then it takes the wisdom of the ancient as oversight. It takes the strength of the youth with the zeal. In a combination placed together, it's the mighty powerhouse of God, the living dynamo of God moving in the earth. Hallelujah. I feel it, don't you? I feel it. Like Brother Bobby Marable said, he had a vision before he come here. He said in this vision, said he looked and saw a building, and he said, Brother Pike, I do believe it was this building. He said, now that I'm here. Said that building had a power plant in it, and said it was giving light, I believe he said, to all the world. Said all the world, light of the world was coming out of that building. Let's sing this little chorus together. You got the victory, Richard. All right, there's a testimony for Jesus. Richard's daddy and mother said, son, you need to see the psychiatrist. He said, Mom and Daddy, I don't need no psychiatrist. He said, I done found somebody that do what the psychiatrist can't do. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Like Sister Betty related that today about the man that went to see the psychiatrist. Fellow went over to see the psychiatrist. Said it really happened, you know. Went to see the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist told him, said, I tell you what you need to do. Said, there's a carnival in town. And said, what you need to do is go down there. So there's a clown down there, and he just has the biggest kind of times. He's just a jolly good fellow, and you need to get down there and just get with him and just have a big time. And said, you forget your troubles. And the man that went to see the psychiatrist said, sir, I'm the clown. Hallelujah. I just said that to say this. It'll take more than a psychiatrist to help you. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Sing it with me. I need thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. While we sing this next verse, I wonder if we could gather around the altars tonight. I felt to give altar call tonight. I just felt God wanted me to. Let's sing this together as we come, can you? I want thee. Oh, I want thee. Sing it with me. Every hour I want thee. I want thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I want thee. Sing it with me. Oh, don't turn him away. Don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen, my Savior, hear his sweet voice, don't turn him away. Oh, folks, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. I tell you from my heart tonight, you don't realize how wonderful it is to be a Christian. You say, but Brother Pike, I know it's wonderful. But I can tell you, you don't realize how wonderful it is. Wait until you see the big pearly gates. And then you see the beautiful streets of gold stretched out in front of you. And you see the beautiful new earth filled with flowers and the birds singing and the angels playing upon their harps. And the fields blossoming as a rose. And the wonderful dews of heaven coming down upon you. And the refreshing of the Lord as though the sun shines within your strength. And then you'll realize what it means to be a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. How wonderful to be a Christian. God, from every generation, picks up somebody from every generation. And he preserves them unto eternal youth, eternal health, eternal riches, eternal happiness and understanding. The others pass on by, and they live their lives in this world and in the things of this world. And then they pass away to never come again. But God brings back everyone that has served him. Gray-haired mothers that lay in the grave tonight, gray-haired dads that lay in the grave tonight, God hasn't forgotten them. Pilgrims, Brother Collins, that's walked the earth, that's testified of Jesus, that sowed seed for Christ, and then at the end of their journey, they lay down to rest. And they're laying there tonight. But after a while, the voice that spoke to Lazarus will speak to them. And a voice will say, son, wake up. I've come to awake you. You'll see them. Like the vision I had of Betty and I where we was buried out here. And I saw the vision. I was down on my knees praying. It must have been 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I saw this
place. And Betty and I was buried. And we was laying there. A few little weeds growed over the top of us. And all of a sudden, it was like it was morning. And I raised up out of the ground, you know. And I pushed the little old weeds out of the way. And I looked around. Everything was so fresh and nice around Bethlehem. I reached over and got Betty's hand, you know. And Betty raised up and we looked around. I thought, well, it's so wonderful, you know. Here we are. Getting up, and I looked, and there was Michael, and Michael had got up from somewhere. And I said, well, old brother Michael, he made it too. So we walked over to where Michael was, and then I looked, and there was another group of people around Bethlehem, and they apparently had got up out of the ground too. And there they were, they had made it too. One day, God, that old gray-haired dad of mine that I love so much, such a sweet little man, one day God will say, Sam, wake up. Hallelujah. And that little old dad of mine, he'll just push everything back. Get up. You believe that? I believe it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Moms and dads and little babies, little darlings that's laid there, God will call to him and say, honey, it's time to get up. That's real, Gary. Glory to God, that's real. You'll see them little darlings come picking themselves up. See that old coffin come up out of the ground, the lid fly open, step out of that little thing, you know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about being a Christian. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. I'd rather be an old time Christian than anything that I know. Walking in the grand old highways and telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old time Christian than anything I know. I thought about Brother Floyd's mother. Poor, helpless, crippled, little hands walked up and little feet walked up, 12 long years bedridden. Sweet as she could be. But one day, God will call her. And as I live, she'll get up out of that coffin. And them crippled hands won't be crippled anymore. And them crippled feet won't be crippled anymore. I saw her in a vision rise up, and she wasn't crippled anymore. Mothers will embrace daughters, and daughters will embrace mothers. Dads will embrace wives, and wives embrace children. What a day that will be. The song said, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Hallelujah. When I take Him by the hand and He leads me to that promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that shall be. I'm talking about reality now. I'm not talking about a movie that'll soon pass. I'm not talking about a fairy tale. I'm talking about the reality of being a Christian. We do not sorrow as those that have no hope. We've got hope beyond the grave. When our loved ones are laid away, we don't sorrow as they that lay them away to never see them again. We sorrow, but we've got hope beyond the grave. Not as they that have no hope, but there'll be a great reunion someday. Isn't that wonderful? A little mother standing here tonight, and I picked up her spirit. And when I picked up her spirit, her longing thoughts was to see something that she had placed away. Feeling that she would see it again in the full blossom of life. I picked up a woman's spirit tonight as I was preaching about old Daniel fasting. And the woman's spirit testified like this. God, I held on. I did it like Daniel did. And it made her feel good all over. And she really did. God knows the thoughts of your heart. He knows. You think He don't know, He knows. He knows what's going on in your life and in your heart. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to be a Christian. It's wonderful to pick up people's spirits, you know, and get a good report. The Bible said, who hath believed our report? But it's sad to pick up, as Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. It's bad to pick up your spirit and find reasoning and doubt and despondency without hope, an evil heart of unbelief. The Bible said, beware lest at the returning of the Lord there be found within you an evil heart of unbelief. He calls a heart of unbelief evil. Let's sing this little chorus together. I want you to lift your hands up with me, folks. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. I know you're tired. It's evening time. And I know you're tired. But there's people here tonight that are wanting prayer. And I want you to lift your hands up. And I'm going to pray for you. And as I live before God, God's going to touch you tonight. As I live and breathe the breath of life, God is going to heal your body if you'll believe with me tonight. I'm going to pray for you with all the sincerity of my heart. If it's your little children, folks, I'm going to pray for them and God's going to heal them. And if it's your body, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to heal you. If you'll believe with me tonight, God will do it. God will do it. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up and I want you to sing this little chorus with me with your eyes closed and your hands lifted up. And at the close of this little chorus, I want to pray. I want to pray the prayer of faith. The Bible said that you can pray the prayer of faith. And if you pray the prayer of faith, then God will forgive the sins of the people. And God will heal the sicknesses of the people. Notice this, it didn't say prayer would save the people. It didn't say if we pray that that would save the people, nor did he say that prayer would save the people. But he said the prayer of faith. Isn't that right? It's the prayer of faith. When you pray, Jesus said, believe. It is the prayer of faith. You must believe. You must believe that God will reward you because you seek him. You must believe he loves you and wants to. And he really does. Anybody that would spill his blood, the blood of his own son at Calvary, to love you and to be your friend, how could he withhold anything else? If he gave the best thing that heaven could afford to begin with, is there anything greater? How could he hold anything else back from you? It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to meet all of your needs, to heal all of your sicknesses, and deliver you from all of your bondages. I want to sing this little song. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Oh, faith in God for deliverance, have faith in God. All right, let's sing it like this. Only believe. Are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. Let's sing it like this now. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. 'Cause Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Oh Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I receive. Oh Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive.
Now listen at me before I pray for you. Remember this. Remember this. The Lord wants to heal you. Don't judge your opportunity for healing by your living right. Don't judge God's compassion toward you according to your feeble ability to live right. That is a mistake. Don't accept God's blessings according to your act of righteousness. That's wrong. But look away to Calvary tonight. There's the blood atonement. And say, God, by your stripes I'm healed. It's through your blood atonement I've stumbled and I've staggered, Jesus. And I'm weak and I can't do nothing. But I'm looking to Calvary tonight. And I ain't depending on nothing I ever done, Jesus. But I'm looking at Calvary tonight. Lord, you promised through the Lamb of God that you'd save me and you'd heal my body. And I'm trusting you tonight. And I'm looking away to Calvary tonight. And I want you to do something for me, Jesus. And I'll try to do better. I'll try my best to do better. Just have mercy on me this one more time. Like the song I wrote, Lord, take me back and try me one more time. Just one more time, Jesus. Hallelujah. With those thoughts in mind tonight, I want to pray for you. I want you to close your eyes and lift your hearts in faith to heaven tonight. And I want to pray, and I believe God will hear me tonight. I believe He will tonight, if you believe with me. I believe that, so help me God. The Bible said we know that if we ask, He will hear us. You got to believe that He's going to hear you tonight. Father of heaven, I ask you tonight in the name of Jesus, because of the blood atonement, I'm asking you tonight, Father, to stretch out a healing hand over my brothers and sisters tonight. Dear God, not by anything that I've done or what they've done, but God, by what Jesus did at Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. I feel your virtues tonight, Jesus, streaming down from the blood atonement. I see the blood on the mercy seat tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Father, you see that blood at the right hand of your throne. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Father, according to that blood atonement tonight, I'm asking you to heal the bodies of my brothers and sisters. I'm asking you to heal them in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, I speak healing to these people tonight. Oh God, break the bondage tonight and take away the evils. Take away the evil, troubling spirits tonight. I plead the blood of Jesus over them tonight. God, that they can be healed, that they can be touched. Father, that they can be delivered tonight from every oppressing power. I'm asking you to heal tonight. I'm asking you to deliver tonight. I'm asking you, God, to take away every spot and blemish tonight. God, make them whole tonight. Let them feel the touch of God tonight. Let them be free. In the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to do it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing another chorus together as we worship God. I believe God heard that prayer tonight. I believe it. I believe it. The Bible said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I don't believe he lied, do you? Do you believe Jesus lied? You ask anything in my name, I will do it. He told the truth. How do you believe he told the truth? That's what heals you, is when you believe in the truth. The truth shall make you free. Free of sickness, free of whatever the sorrows might be. Jesus said it, I believe it, and that is true. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Go leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Can you do that? If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get a long Omega fare, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. You really believe that? I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. Let's sing this little song, Just Another Touch From You. Let's sing this together. I love to worship the Lord, don't you? You know, my life is to worship Jesus. My life, Willie, is to worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Just to worship Jesus. I just love to worship Jesus. You know, the Bible said when serving the Lord, becomes a joy to you, then he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I just love to worship Jesus. He is so sweet. The Bible said, taste and see if the Lord's sweet. So sweet, like eating honey. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Sing it with me. To help me with the trials I go through.
Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Can you sing it again? Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Do you feel whole tonight? If you feel whole in your spirit, body, if you can feel his presence, then lift your hands up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel whole, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, touch me. Glory to God, he touched me. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me, can? Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. I want Willie to come up here and lead us in about a line or two of that. Can you do that, Willie? Yeah. Willie's just going just like he's pedaling the boat down the stream, you know. I want him to come up here. Can you come up here, Willie, just a minute and lead us in a thought or two of that? How many just take a minute to worship God? Would you do that? All right, come on, Willie, sing a line or two of that. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Can you
bring? While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. Oh, while I was giving glory, somebody touched me. While I was giving glory, somebody touched me. While I was giving glory, somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. I know it was the hand of the Lord.
Oh, while I was testifying, somebody touched me. While I was testifying, somebody touched me. While I
was testifying.
Somebody touched me. No, it was the hand of the Lord.
Brother Keith, come up here, man. I want Keith to come and lead us in a line or two of that, too. You feel Jesus? Let's sing it again. Oh, glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. Well, while I was talking about my Jesus, somebody touched me. While I was talking, while I was talking about my Jesus, somebody was the hand of the Lord.
Hallelujah! I feel somebody moving, Paul. I feel Jesus on the main line. How do you feel Jesus on the main line? Let's sing that chorus, can we? Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line now. You can call him up, and tell him what you want. Oh, call him up, and tell him what you want. You can call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Oh, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line now. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. And tell him what you want. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. For Jesus on the main line now. Oh, hallelujah. You feel Jesus on the main line? We got a direct line between here and heaven. It's a toll-free call. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a toll-free call. Don't cost you nothing. Just call him up and tell him what you want. Hallelujah. God's good, ain't he? God is good. One more little chorus. Let's sing this. And then we'll let you go, okay? Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus.